G'day guys, see my shells here and welcome to episode number 15 of the Geocaching Down Under podcast. Tonight we are chatting all about GIF of 2019, and with us we have another couple all the way from across the ditch, also known as New Zealand or the most eastern state of Australia. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Rachel and Paul, also known as the Curious Kiwis. G'day guys.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good. And yourself? Long time ago, we haven't done this before with you, have we? No.
We've never done this ever.
Nope. Never done a live podcast. See, I told you I'm going to be one of those nights. Live podcast.
Live podcast. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. If you don't know these guys, I don't know why and I don't know where you've been, but the Curious Kiwis, they have a big following on YouTube. They are some great videographers as well and some great storytellers, and hence the reason why they're here talking about GIF and how we can try and inspire those out there to put in a GIF entry. What do you think?
You guys
are going to do one for next year, surely.
Yeah, with this year we were like just kind of learning what it was all about, but next year I've already had a few ideas in the back of my mind, so
there we go.
Sorry.
And you guys have got it made because obviously you're a caching couple. You know, there's two of you there. You got two brains, two ideas. It comes together. You know, you got double everything. You got a camera person, and you got someone in front of camera. All for once, you don't have to hold the camera yourself.
It's great. Yeah, it works really well most of the time.
awesome. All right, more about you guys very, very soon, because I'm going to get into some geocaching news and some events as well, and we're going to discuss those because I do believe you guys may be going to one of these large events very soon. So without further ado, in news and events, we have, firstly and foremost, the St. Arnold's event. It's coming up in November, this month, down in Victoria, GC7DN55. And now I think that's like next weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll do
that. You guys aren't going to go and come across a bitch for that one? No.
Unfortunately, it would be fun, but yeah.
It would be fun. So, and those of you who are going to the St. Arnold's event, good luck and enjoy yourselves, guys, and drive safely. Also, get there safely. Get to your destination safely. After that, we have the GeoVenture 2020 in Millicent, South Australia, and that is GC82DAN or GC82DAN, and that's in April of 2020 in South Australia, Millicent, of course. I just said that. I don't know why I'm repeating myself. I told you it's one of these nights.
Oh, you'll have
those. I know. that's in Easter long weekend, I do believe, in April. Now, I've put a new one on there as well. As of those avid listeners, we have WA Goes Big. Now, this isn't a mega, and poor WA, they try really, really hard. They get some good numbers, and it's a really good weekend event as well. WA Goes Big next year is in Albany and Denmark in WA. Now, Denmark, WA, you guys have ever been there?
Nope. I'm like, cool, no, where that is.
Denmark in WA has a prolific geocacher who does all these gadget caches that requires a battery, like a 9-volt battery. So you
nice. It's like a signature. Yeah.
It's a signature thing. It is. It's a BYOB, he calls them, bring your own battery. And you go right. Yeah, and you got to click it in and things open left, right, and center. It's really, really cool. So that's in Denmark, WA, and that is on the 30th of May to the 1st of June in 2020 as well. Oh, and look at that. Andrew Bush, all the way from YouTube, has just basically said, don't forget Auckland 2020. No, we're not, mate. That's on my list. And there it is there. News NZ 2020 in Auckland. It's in October in 2020, and it's GC8. 7777. That's GC8777. That's what it is. Awesome stuff. Now, it is already a mega as well, so that's pretty cool. Now, you guys are heading to that. True.
100%. Sure.
Yep.
Now why would you guys be heading to that? Let me guess. Do you live anywhere near GZ?
Not really. It's a little bit far to drive, but we think we should be able to, you know, just put a little bit of effort in and get there all right.
And how long would it take you to get there then if you're going to drive there from your house?
Maybe about 5 minutes.
I think it's four.
if we like drive like a little bit over the speed limit.
6 minutes in traffic. There we go. Yeah,
that's fun.
How good would that be to actually have like a mega and a New Zealand mega right at your doorstep? You guys are absolutely blessed.
That's really cool.
So again, guys, don't forget NZ 2020 Auckland in October next year. GC 8777. Stay tuned as well, because at the end of the show, I'm going to tell people how they can win a New Zealand Geocoin. Supplied from the hosts of the mega in Auckland. So that's really cool. So make sure you place your Willitons if you're going to go. Make sure you register as well, because you've got to register online, and plan your geocaching trips now. So you guys have already, have you registered for that one? Of course.
We definitely have. We've got our supporter pack and the t-shirts from it are already on the way. We hope to have them for tonight, but they didn't come in time. So
what can you do? Well, we're going to promote the heck out of this thing anyway, because it's going to be a big event. It's a Fuzzy Monkey, I suppose. Is it Fuzzy Monkey?
Funky Monkey Zone.
I met him. Oh, it sounds really good, because I actually met him in Wollongong this year. And we had a good chat about it too, so that's pretty cool. He's going to come on the podcast later on next year. Just to chat about it and what they've got up to, but closer to the event. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Awesome stuff. All right, let me get on now. We're going to go to the next part of the podcast, and that is to actually interview you guys, talk with you. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. All right. Stand by, guys. And we're going to interview now the Curious Kiwis and talk about everything GIF for 2019 and beyond. Here we go. Okay, so as tonight, guys, we are chatting all things GIF, and with some hosting events. Actually, Curious Kiwis, are you guys hosting a GIF event? No, I didn't ask that.
No, you're not.
So we talk about hosting GIF events. We're going to talk about creating your own GIF entry itself. So joining me tonight are newish to the geocaching world, not new to the camera, but newish to the geocaching world about 12 months ago or so, or just over 12 months. But they've been filming for many years. They can be seen, as I said before, on YouTube and other social media outlets. They are Rachel and Paul to their friends, but to everyone else, they're the Curious Kiwis. G'day, guys.
Hey, hello.
Hey, awesome. So we'll start off with you guys personally. Oh, and they're frozen. Nope, they're back. Ooh. Yep, they're back. You froze in a really good pose then too. It was pretty cool. So guys, you started what? When did you start geocaching?
What date was it? It was the
13th of October, I think.
No, wasn't it? August. It was like the 12th of August or something like that.
13th. 12.
To be confirmed.
We still don't know because of time zones.
Yeah.
It's either the 12th or 13th.
It's last year.
So you're probably about 14 months ago in that case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Your audio, by the way, is again really delayed. So I think it's going to fix that here while I ask the next basic question. So you guys have been geocaching now for about 14, 15 months, so to speak. Yep. How many caches have you found?
We are up to 397, and I know you don't know that off the top of your head, but I've got it in my brain.
I was just going to say it.
That's exactly the number you're thinking, right?
Yep. I was going to say 396.
That's really cool, because if you think about it, there's only 365 days in a year, and you've been just over a year, so that's pretty much a cache a day for you guys.
Yeah, indeed. We love doing days with, like, lots of caches in one go rather than just, like, one cache a day kind of thing. Yep.
We both
work and
we dedicate days to it, and then we just go ham. We just find as many as we can on one day.
You have real lives, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
How did you guys actually get into geocaching? How did you find out about it?
Well,
actually, we were following this couple. They do like Disney videos. They are called the Tim Tracker on YouTube. And they had one of their videos where they tried out this thing called geocaching, and they geocaching in Orlando, and we were watching it and be like, hey, that's pretty interesting. Cool. Let's see if we can do that here too in New Zealand. So just went to the website and looked it up and like, oh, hey, cool. And downloaded the app and, you know, it's free to you to try. So we tried it out and Well, first cash in was awesome.
We were like, we can't believe someone actually hit something and it's still here. Like, what?
Like, and like all these things, we were like, we drove past it. We walked past here and not knowing.
Didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, we were hooked. Yeah. Definitely.
And you feel like you're part of a secret society, don't you? A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, sure.
Part of a secret society. Yeah. Like, yeah, you drive past these things and you don't even know there's something actually hidden there. No one else knows about it. Me and a few others. Exactly. Exactly. That's awesome. So obviously you've got bitten by the geocaching bug, which is really, really cool. You already had the YouTube channel going. What was the YouTube channel before geocaching?
We had a few YouTube channels, actually. We had aviation-related channels, and that's actually how we met. So that's how we got through filming in the first place. So,
Back up. So you met through aviation.
I know, it's an interesting story.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay, short version or long version?
I'm always very long in stories.
We had two YouTube videos, both plane-related. And I started uploading videos, and you were the first person to comment on one of my videos. And we started chatting and all that jazz, and then we started Skyping and all that. And I moved to America for 6 months to work at Walt Disney World in Florida. And he said, "Hey, you're close to me." By that time, we were real good friends. "Can I come and meet you in Florida?"
Close.
"Can I come and meet you in Florida?" And I was like, "Okay, why not?" So he came over and met me in Florida and in Disney, and that's how it all happened.
Here we are.
You were close to Florida. How close were you?
I was in the Netherlands, so that's like 9-hour flight. But
closer than a 24-hour flight.
Yeah. True. Yeah, 100% true.
Halfway between New Zealand and the Netherlands.
I went further than you did.
Yeah, true.
Technically. You're being technical here. Yeah.
You went from aviation videos, then what did you go into from there? Once you've actually got together, did you start just amalgamating your videos together or?
We actually keep our separate channels, but we started, he came here for a holiday, and then we started doing more plane videos, and then we went back to Holland, and then he came here permanently, and we were still doing plane spotting videos, and we just kind of thought, hey, why not translate them to geocaching videos?
Yeah.
Same thing, but different, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So you went from plane videos to exciting videos.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I know it's bad.
we don't plane spot at all anymore, so geocaching definitely rules the roost.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's very, very different, isn't it? Very, very different indeed. So you guys, obviously, you've been out there now for over 12 months. You're seeing what geocaching's like. You've got the bug. Have you hidden anything yet? And
we have hidden.
If so, whereabouts, in terms of locality?
We've hidden one geocache so far, our little baby. We have hidden it. It's probably at our old house before we moved into our new house. It was about a 2-minute drive from our house, honestly, and now a 15-minute drive. So it's pretty close to us. It's a local park. It's called the Auckland Botanical Gardens, and there's a park attached to it called Totara Park, and it's a forest kind of in the middle of the city, and you can go for a walk, and it's there. So
nice
little forest park.
So do you have the GC code at all? There you go. This is going to be off the top of my head. Oh, good man. All right, let us know the GC code, and therefore then, you guys, if you put this on your to-do list when you're over for the New Zealand Mega for next year, you can jump on, because I'm telling you guys, I've actually seen this cache that they're talking about. It is a pretty cool little cache. Now, Paul, you made most of this cache, let's be honest, with your hardworking woodwork skills. You manly man. How many drill bits and bits and pieces did you go through in order to make this geocache? Three.
Proven.
Was that three drills or three actual drill bits?
No, three drill bits.
So we ended up buying about three drills that we didn't even end up using. So that was a nice excuse to buy tools for him.
I was like, oh, I need an angle grinder.
And I was like, okay, you must need it. Cool.
Let's go out and buy it. Exactly. You guys don't have Bunnings over there. What's your hardware stores over there?
He works at
Bunnings. I actually work in Bunnings.
Oh, there you go. A plug for Bunnings. Yeah, there you go. Work for Bunnings, and there's Bunnings in NZ. So obviously, in that case, then you would have got a staff discount for all the tools you had to buy. You had to buy to make one geocache.
Had to buy.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's definitely an advantage to work at Bunnings
for sure.
with making geocache. and all that stuff. So, and future geocaches, because we have so many geocaches that we want to create, but we want to make them really creative, that they are worth a favorite point, that people are really enjoy them, not like just a bison tube in a tree, or
that's like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, like something out of the ordinary.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly. We've actually got Sandy Spink here on the YouTube, and she says that she actually watched your YouTube on the making of it. It's a fantastic cache. She laughed so much with Paul's skills. So and Sandy's she's the one that won the Geocoin last month, and she's all the way from South Australia herself, so that's pretty cool. Thank you very much for that, Sandy. Yeah, no, if you haven't, guys, you need to get this cache. It's a real fun, cool little cache, and let's be honest, you got to find it and give it a favorite point, and so Paul can make the blood worthwhile.
And the because, money
on tools. Yeah. And the money on tools. Have you got the GC code there, Paul?
Yep. The digital.
it's already from you.
GC8A969.
GC8A969. That's a good one too. That's a good number. That's a good code. Very easy to remember. So there you go, guys. If you're going over to New Zealand for 2020, make sure you put that on your to-do list. And make sure you have plenty of favorite points up your sleeve as well, because you can need them, I dare say. Are you guys going to put any more out between now and then? Surely you will be.
Yeah,
we're already in the works for something. There's a person over in the US, and he's going to send us a travel bug, and we're going to send him a travel bug, and we're going to try and make them get to each other's caches, and we're going to make purpose built caches for them. So,
you are going to actually use your tools to further on with your caching. So just don't break
it. I'm going to make those tools.
This time, though, we have a workbench and FICE and all that stuff. So that's going to make life way more
Thanks, easy. Mom and Dad.
Yeah. That's going to make it so much easier.
Really cool. Because, I mean, if you guys haven't watched their video, by the way, before we go on, jump onto YouTube, The Curious Kiwis. Make sure you like and subscribe and hit the little bell and all that sort of stuff, because they do some awesome videos. lots of fun. Hit the little bell, exactly. I think one of the best parts of the video, apart from obviously the geocaching related and stuff as well, is their bloopers. They do some fantastic bloopers, don't you guys? Now, who does the more bloopers out of the two of you?
We like to keep it as real as possible.
A lot of bloopers.
Oh, they've... Are they back? Yep. You're back. Yeah, you went. Yeah, you went all robotic like. So you said, who does the more bloopers out of the two?
Look, they're both debatable.
What about if you want to go online and see the. Yeah, go online and you watch, and you judge for yourself if it's going to be Paul or Rachel that does the most bloopers. All right.
My nickname.
We're going to get into it. We're going to get straight into GIF for 2019 and beyond. So when did you guys hear about like GIF events and GIF styles?
Good question. It was probably only the beginning of this year, because the first couple of months we kind of just got into geocaching itself and learning about what it's all about, and then we're kind of still learning about the extra things like the GIF and events themselves, you know, like, so we kind of just started small, and now we're kind of working up into these kind of extra things.
No, that's cool. And are you guys attending a GIF event somewhere?
Well, there's actually one tomorrow night in Auckland, but unfortunately we're working, so we cannot attend it. It's in Auckland City downtown, if you don't know. I'm not sure the GC code, but it's in downtown Auckland. It'll be on the geocaching page, but yeah, a bit of a bummer.
Are you going to get to one at all? No, that's the only one that's close?
The only one that's close to us, to be honest.
Because you do. So for those of you who don't know, you do actually get a digital souvenir for going to a GIF event, for attending a GIF event.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah,
If you guys want to know, if you're listening in and you want to know whereabouts your nearest GIF event is, the best way to do it, I found, is on the website itself, the geocaching website. They've actually got a little logo there called GIF. So you click on that, and it's already a pro forma what do you call it, like a filter already set up, and it shows you all the gifts around the entire world, which is pretty cool, and you can then go to one near you. So that's pretty cool. You can do that, or if you can't do that, you can actually filter yourself, because every GIF event has the word GIF, G-I-F-F, in it. So if you filter by name and just put the word GIF, then it actually comes up with all the GIF events that way as well. So, yeah. Hosting GIFs. People have asked me as well online, etc., how do I host a GIF event? What do I do? What do whatever else? Well, are you guys going to think about hosting one in the near future at all? Obviously not this year.
Yeah, maybe next year. Not 100%. We're just all like figuring out how that kind of will work. So once we figure it out, we'll probably look into maybe doing something like that.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Well, there's most of these questions and answers have come straight from GCHQ themselves. And if you're thinking about hosting a GIF event, you just do it as a normal event like you would ordinarily do. The difference is you must have the word GIF in your title. Apart from that, it's a normal event. You can go towards having a paid premises, because in some cases you do have to pay to host an event in these sort of circumstances, because they're not just an outdoor area. You need to hire things like, you know, the projector screens and whatnot as well.
Yep.
You can ask for donations to go towards the actual hosting of the event. You can actually ask for that as well as part of the GIF pro forma or description. Apart from that, is once you get the cache published, you then go on and to GCHQ, and they've got a little GIF link, and you click on that and you fill out a form which tells them that you're hosting, which GC code and everything else as well, and also what format you require for the videos to come to you. So you're going to play it on a laptop, onto a projector screen, or some people actually play it at movie theaters. I'm going to a movie theater one this weekend. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, because they require it in a different format altogether to go through the movie.
Yeah.
So they do that, and once that happens, then that's it. And if people actually will then get the full GIF film reel, like I think it's 2 weeks leading up to their event. So hosting now, people who are hosting now from now on, are actually got the full GIF reel as well, which is pretty cool. If you have any questions in regards to hosting any or a geocaching event in any way, Google is your friend, people. Like either that, or you can even just drop us a line here at geocachingdownunder at gmail.com, and I'll answer any of your questions you may have on events. Because, I've hosted now three GIF events I've hosted. I didn't host this year. Yeah, I didn't host this year. And each time it costs a fair bit of money. But you know what? It's a bit of fun. All right, the other questions we have are now to try and inspire people about how they can put a GIF entry in as well. Now, you guys, as I said before, thinking about doing one, a GIF entry. Now, there's some tips and tricks. And again, this is from HQ about what to do when thinking about putting a GIF idea together. Rachel, what would be number one, do you think? What would you think would be the first idea to go through?
Family friendly. That's
family friendly. Absolutely. Must be family friendly. Exactly right. But you've also got to tell a story.
Yeah. And have a nice flow and a nice story going. Because if it's, there's no story, it's kind of like, what am I watching? You know, like a film is all about having a story. So
exactly right. Now the stories have to be under 4 minutes. So it's pretty tight. So there's nothing wrong with your geocaching story being like a love story or a race to an FTF or, you know, a geocaching montage. There's so many different ideas that you can actually have.
Simple can sometimes be better than more complicated, because it's only 4 minutes. You don't want to try and squeeze a whole lot into a short space of time when you've only got 4 minutes. You know, the simpler the better sometimes.
Exactly. Now, the only other thing I would say is that some of these things obviously have been done before. So make sure you do some research. Get out there and actually have a look and research. You just Google, you know, GIF videos on YouTube, and there'll be a heap of things, different ones come up. They'll come up and you'll see the different ideas. You might get some ideas from them, but also at the same time, you want it to be your idea, you know?
Yeah, put your little twist on it. It can be more twist on it. It's got to be slight, like different, like your own.
Exactly. So make it your own. And don't forget as well, your film can actually be, it can be fact or fiction or documentary style. You know, it can have a different sort of styles of filmmaking. You know, I mean, just when I heard about documentary style, straight away I can think of, David Attenborough. You know, you could do like a takeoff of him, like, oh, and here we have pure pressure in the wild.
Let's
bison in the tree.
Oh, no, it's not a bison, it's an ammo can.
You just gave us another idea.
And there you go. See, more chucking them out there. You've got to, the other idea is you've got to make it global as well. So, in other words, you've got to make the idea and the film and the story be able to be watched by everyone all over the world.
So, and the more relatable, the better too. If everyone kind of understands it or gets that, oh, yeah, I know that, you know, like that, those moments are what makes it more interesting for people, I think.
Exactly. Now, we are trying to, by us talking about GIF, we're trying to give people ideas. We're trying to give people inspiration to get out there and film for 2020 a GIF and have the most entries from Australia and New Zealand in 2020. That's what we want. That's what it's about. The more, the better, like, you know, and get it out there. So the best thing that we have in Australia and New Zealand to go worldwide is just that, Australia and New Zealand. So make it about your own country.
Your own culture, your own little slice of
heaven. Exactly right. There we go. But she's got to be. You got to be careful though, because you can't do copyright. See, this is the other thing. So with your audio stuff, you got to be careful with your music. Mm. Yeah, she's there doing the. What? That's not the. What's that song? I know it's a slice of heaven. But it's the unofficial, you know, national anthem of New Zealand.
Yeah. Really, isn't it? Yeah.
Like ours, they come from a land down under, sort of thing. So, another thing is you've got to know the actual rules for your submission. So we might go through the rules soon. Do you want to go through them now? We can go through them now if you like.
Yeah, may as well.
Have you got the rules in front of you? Did I show you the rules?
No, I haven't got the rules in front of me, but I don't know two of them off the top of my head.
All right, let me have a look through. If you say which ones, and I'll flick them off here. So which ones do you think would be a rule?
They've got to be between 1 and 4 minutes long.
Correct, yeah.
You've got to be 18 and over to submit an entry.
Although a parent or guardian can submit on behalf of a child. So there has been kids in it and doing it, but a parent or guardian's got to submit on behalf. Yep, what else have we got?
Family friendly, of course. Yeah. Very important.
So that would, family friendly. What does family friendly mean, though? This is the other thing, because there's been some contentious issues on what's family friendly. So
that's always the tricky thing, isn't it?
No nudity. No nudity. No swearing. No suggestive content.
Suggestive
content. And no firearms or any other weapons as well. You can't actually have any weapons. It can't be harassing. It can't be racist or offensive in any other way or inappropriate. To children, such as no violent content either. So, you know, you can't punch him in the face because he beat you to the FTF, that sort of thing. Like, we've also got as well, where is it? Oh, of course it would be Andrew Bush. He says that only 2 film submissions per person will be accepted. A separate submission form is required for each entry. And of course he knows the rules. He should know the rules. He studied the rules. So there, only 2 entries per person. But if you have like a team like you guys, well, hang on a second. Do you geocache by yourselves? Like you just got 1 account for the 2 of you, don't you?
We just got 1 account. So we geocache on
the team. So there you go. So yeah, you've got to have only a limit of 2 film submissions per actual geocaching account. So just set up another account and just send more in. I didn't say that. Another thing, of course, you can't have any commercial or corporate content.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. True.
Yeah. Now I know this. I know this from a personal experience. My entry, I think it was last year or the year before, was entry actually got disqualified.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was wearing this shirt. You see, it says "See My Shell" on it, and it's
that's not allowed on
YouTube, and it's got like a GC code thing on the and
gift thing.
I know. And look, I'll even share it on here. I'll share it. It's PCC6Y1. PCC6Y1. There you go. So you get that's trackable. See, but it's a trackable, and they didn't. Yeah. So anyway, lesson learned. Yeah, I have been disqualified once from my entry, so that's what. they said, like it says in the rules, any advertising, whether it's intentional or not, You know what I mean? So, you know, and that that wasn't intentional. It was like, you know,
yeah.
Blue's good for my eyes.
It suits me.
It does. We touched on this before as well. You must only use content that you own. So,
yes. Oh, I thought of another.
So that's video and audio as well.
Yeah,
both. So yeah, none of those. None of those. What else was there?
Oh, if there's any spoilers of any caches, you have to have the cache permission.
Exactly right. Although in some, 99.9% of the time, you think about it, we're doing a film. We make it all up. We don't actually use real geocaching. Oh, though I did in my.
That's what I was thinking, making it up. So you don't have that kind of problem. But
I would make a fake geocache for that.
Yeah.
You just make up a geocache as you like. I mean, I've been in as a three film submissions now over the years. My first one, which was accepted a couple of years back, was an actual cache, and that was a real cache. I got the permission from the CO. I was FTF on that particular cache, and whilst getting that cache, I got FTF by almost stripping down to nothing and waiting for water and everything, because I had to beat another guy who was in a different direction. You do these things to win. And so after I got the cash, here I was in my wet underwear and he's walking up the beach laughing. And I'm there going, I got it. He goes, but you're looking like an idiot. I said, I know. and then the GIF idea just appeared, like, oh yes, you know, that sort of thing. But in this year's one, we've got a GIF entry in this year as well, which is pretty cool. Yeah. As part of the Northern Rivers geocaching community. And that one there, we pretend to place a cache, so I think it's part of the video, and that's a fake cache. But guess what? We managed to now put it publicly, and it's a real cache now.
That's cool.
It's cool. Like it's one of those things where we call it the gift cache. So people can actually come and find the gift cache. It appeared live on the idea of it appeared live on the gift. So that's pretty cool. What else was there? That's right. All languages are accepted, including Dutch. You know, you got some Dutch in there. Yeah.
I can it gewoon in the Netherlands doen dan.
What he said.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hopefully I did.
Yeah,
exactly. So, however, non-English language films must be subtitled in English as well, but only if you're selected as a finalist. So, just be wary of that because it's something like too well. You must be a basic member of GC.com as well. You must be a basic member. You can't resubmit anything that's been disqualified in the past.
Yeah, so, true. Wasn't there like a rule or something about you can if there's been a tweak made or something to it? Was there something like that?
Yeah, if corrections have been made, I think, or something like
that. Oh, yeah. There's like a little side thingy in there somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah. I couldn't be bothered trying to hide this thing throughout the whole video. And
Yeah, so I just
checked on my YouTube channel saying, a disqualified video. And also, of course, then you can't actually share your GIF entry if you're until after 2009, after the events have been done. So you can't share on YouTube until after they've been done. So I think that's
so hard for us.
I know. That's all the rules for them. So there's a fair few. But, guys, again, if you miss any of these things we say here on the show, go to just Google, basically, GIF geocaching. There's an actual website for it. I think it's – actually, I've got it here. The website itself is geocachingfilmfestival, all one word, .com. That's it, geocachingfilmfestival.com. It's quite easy to look at. And that's where you can find all your information from there. So that's pretty cool. All right. What else was there we had to discuss? Let me see. There's a few of the online stuff. Oh, that was the rules. That's right. Oh, we're still discussing about the video, the quality of the video.
Yes.
Make it visual.
Mm-hmm. It's very important. The quality is super important.
Yeah. Cinematic. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? And in that terms, in terms of quality as well, is that so? What do you guys use for your videos and stuff?
We just use a handheld Panasonic camcorder. To be honest, it's old-ish. It's nothing like fancy, but yeah, we just use that. Yeah, 3 years old. And sometimes some GoPro footage.
Yeah.
We just got GoPro. So yeah, just pretty simple stuff. Just making sure that the quality is good and that also the shots being good at the same time, you know, like the shots are half the work, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now the other half of it as well is the editing.
And that's of course. She edits all the videos.
Do you do all the edits? Oh geez, I wish I had an editor.
That's used to take me like 2 or 3 days to edit a 10-minute video, and now I've got it down to about 3 or 4 hours. So you kind of like get into a flow and you know how your videos work and how people like watching your videos. So you know when to cut it and where to cut it and where the humor is. You kind of start figuring it out, and then it just gets really quick.
Exactly. Well, that's one thing I would say as well with the story is that I like to have a story. Think of a rom-com, like a romantic comedy story. All right. So you've got guy and girl, guy meets girl, you know, they hit it off and it's all lovey-dovey. So that's the high bit, but it's not super high, but it's a high bit, you know. And then all of a sudden something happens and they break up or something, you know, they have a fight, they come down itself. And next minute they get back together and he apologizes for whatever he did wrong because he doesn't even know. And that's the ending. There he is.
And keep listening.
And then the final is when they get married. Yeah, that sort of thing. So it's a storyline. You gotta make sure
in between.
Yeah, you gotta make it feel. And you always gotta end on that high. If you don't end on that high, your video will just be people won't, no matter how good a quality it is. People will just not like the end. They will just go, and they'll, you're going to leave people. So,
So that's cool.
Exactly. While we're here as well, just quickly, we have again Andrew Bush from. he asked just for those on the podcast. Well, his question was, how many of Stone and Paul's shoe incidents are edited out?
So minimum. If you would like a 5-hour compilation of bloopers, I'm sure I could have that out within a week.
Somehow I always manage to get them in my shoe.
It's because you buy $5 warehouse shoes that get holes in them within a week.
Yeah. Even my even my slippers currently.
Oh geez.
You're probably gonna get thrown in it walking back to the house from the garage. I promise. You got Instagram for the proof.
And he wonders where the rocks get in. Jeez, have a look at that.
Seriously.
That's awesome. And probably the last sort of thing talking about videos and quality and whatnot is less is sometimes more.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Less is sometimes more. I mean, it's only 4 minutes. It's not that much. And you've got to tell your whole story in 4 minutes. I'm not sure about other people, but I personally, I don't like that much talking, or if any, especially in a GIF video. Because if you go on, if you have a look at other film festival videos, then you'll find there's not that much audio in terms of talking or language in it.
We just watched last year's reel on YouTube to prepare for this, and a lot of them had no talking in it. And a lot of times they were the better ones because you could just kind of see what was happening, you know, and like imagine it more.
As long as they have good music in it, which obviously needs to be free music, like royalty-free music, copyright-free music. But as long as you select good music, it works really
well.
Helps
carry the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, quickly on that note as well, and a big shout out here. When you guys watch anyone listening and whatnot, watch not geocaching down under. I'm at a block again. The Northern Rivers, the Northern Rivers entry for 2019. It was filmed. The idea was contemplated by a few people and whatnot, and it was filmed and done. It was all edited by No Tomorrow. She did all the editing, and it's awesome editing work. It's really well done. But what happened then when it comes to the audio side of things as well is her brother, Steve, his name is, and he does it for a living. He actually does compilation or background music for movies.
Oh, that's nice. That's handy.
Now you wait, and the video itself and the storyline itself, I personally felt, without, you know, obviously I'm part of it, but I thought it's pretty good. The story's pretty good, the ideas are pretty good, the filming's pretty good, the editing is really good, but it puts it probably about 70%. And then as soon as you add in the audio, and I'm talking, when I talk about audio, I don't talk about just the some drum beats and some music content. I'm talking like the ding, boom, all the little bits. Yeah. even to the point where he recorded himself. He went out and got like a little thing of rocks and recorded a few with.
No, it was like purpose made for your entry. Even better.
Yeah, he was just watching the entry and thought, okay, that needs that sound. That needs that sound. Watch, pause, and then put it all together. So, yeah, he did it all. And seriously, he just knocked it out of the ballpark. Like, to me personally, it really does just enhance the video quality of what it is. So, if you can get and for free.
I was going to say the amount of hours I've spent searching through for royalty-free music, you know, like it's just, it takes time. When you got someone to do that for you, that's perfect.
Exactly. Now, if you're thinking about making a video and you just want royalty-free music, GCHQ do suggest a couple of different websites. I'm not sure what they are. There's a couple of different websites where you can actually get royalty-free music, like actually royalty-free, because sometimes YouTube is not royalty-free.
Indeed. I've only got two sites, one off YouTube and one not off YouTube, that I've never had a copyright strike for. All the rest I've had a copyright strike for. So I know that those are the good go-to places.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've had so many strikes now, and I don't care. I just go, yeah, whatever. All that happens is they put ads on your film, and then the money from the ads goes to the people, not you. But I don't get money from my YouTube channel anyway. I don't have enough. The YouTube lifted the bar for that too. So
they did,
Exactly. We had some online questions as well during the week, from Skatey Rocks all the way up in Townsville, not Cairns. I got it wrong last month. The question is, are the gifts given a theme each year? Now, they tried the theme work a couple of times. For the last 2 years, though, they've given up on giving people themes because no one listens to them.
I was going to say, we tried to look for a theme. Like, I tried to indeed Google it, and I couldn't find anything about a theme. So I was like, oh, they must have given that up.
Yeah, so they've given up the theme idea. So there's no more themes for this year anyway, at least. So that's pretty cool. And obviously she asked as well about the special requirements for the movies, which we already spoke about. And she said, also, this is another good question, is how long did Geocaching HQ give entrants to create and submit their films? Well, obviously you can start creating the film now for next year.
Absolutely.
But their deadlines are normally between the 1st of June and the 1st of August. So they give you 3 months to actually get your film submitted in that time frame. I myself always leave it to the last minute.
I'm a last minute person too. I find it motivates me more.
Yeah, it motivates you more. It just makes me more like, no, I don't really want to do this. but I do have some gift stats for you people as well. People ask me when did the gift start? It started in 2013. 2013 and 14, it was hosted only in Seattle, and it was hosted alongside there. They had a block party event. That they used to be. And then 2015 is when they spread it out. They spread it out amongst 46 countries, and there was 449 events. In 2016, there was 526 events in 44 countries. In 2017, there was 601 events in 55 countries. 2018, there was 656 events in 58 countries. So they've been growing, which is pretty cool. But are you ready for this? Now, this here was really intriguing for me, and that is the amount of submissions. In 2016, they had 123 submissions worldwide. In 2017, they had 47 submissions. It went like a third. I didn't even know that until I'm looking at the stats tonight and going, what happened there? And even last year, they only had 83 submissions.
Or like the whole world.
The whole world, yeah, considering how many people play the game. Yeah.
Exactly. And so this is what the idea was for tonight's talk as well, is, guys, Australia.
Come on.
They need more submissions. The more submissions, then the higher the quality of we're going to show people and showcase these great countries of ours, Australia and New Zealand as well. You know, showcase all the deadly animals in Australia and showcase the fact that there's nothing in New Zealand like that.
I wonder if actually setting a theme would help that, because it may be like getting the initial idea is what people are struggling with, you know? So maybe if there was a theme, people would be able to get that initial like thought, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And you know what? I just come up with an idea then as well that I could probably collate with you guys for next year, and we can do like a Australia and New Zealand, Australia versus New Zealand GIF.
Battle of the Ditch.
Yeah, Battle of the Ditch. And what it'll be like, you know, it'll be me in the Aussie sort of thing with an Aussie flag shirt or whatever, showing that I'm obviously Australian. Yeah. And I go in and I go to put my hand in a log or something to grab a cash, and out pops a snake and I get scared. Yeah. And then you guys just casually walk over and just go, do, put your hand all the way up a log. There, you know,
or like out pops a kiwi or something really like cute,
you have a little pat, and like, you know, yeah.
Little
we can really pay out Australia and show how much how New Zealand's so much prettier than Australia, but don't let the rest of Australia say that. I did travel around New Zealand a couple of years ago, and yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. Although I'm probably gonna get heckled for this, but South Island is prettier than North Island.
It's
pretty.
We had never been, even myself having lived here for 25 years now, never been to the South Island until 2 years ago. We went on a family holiday, and yep. I was like, nah, can't be better. And I was like, yep, nope, it's better.
Yep. And especially as geocachers, I found, like geocachers, we travel a lot. So traveling around the South Island, you know, and I was a self-drive. Because you guys even drive on the same side that we do, so there's no problem there. self-drive tour, and it was just stunningly gorgeous. You know, you could stop 100 meters. Oh, 100%, 100% so relaxing. It did when it come to the views and whatnot too. And of course, things like in Queenstown, so you can do so many things in Queenstown.
Yeah.
And I did one of my bucket list thing. I did a bungee jump off the cable car.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It's on my YouTube channel, of course.
We did the jet boat ride, and that was enough for me. Or mum's driving was enough for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay. She's not watching.
Wasn't a trouble in Russian deep.
No, exactly. We've got a little bit of time, I think. Yeah, we've still got a little bit of time left up ourselves. So let's talk about New Zealand. What are your thoughts when it comes to where have you guys been in terms of geocaching related stuff, like in New Zealand?
For all of our stuff on our channel, we've just stuck in the North Island, of course, for now. We really enjoy going to regional parks, like Duda Regional Park. It's got like 52 caches in it, you know. We just spent 2 full days there and just, you know, did the whole thing. That's at the moment, that's kind of our thing, is the national parks and like the Awhiti Regional Park we went to and all that kind of jazz. But
it's just beautiful that they're like all like little peninsula, and it's quiet and you can enjoy nature and
less than 2 hours from home, you know, like easy driving, an easy day trip, pack your lunch, you know, take your backpack and spend a whole day there.
Also, the thing that we really enjoy about that is that it's actually not easy. Tracks are not like just nice carved out tracks. No, they are tracks. They'd be like, where's the track kind of tracks?
We went to Awhiti and we had prickles everywhere for a week, you know, like that.
But
kind
that
of
makes it
stuff.
Fun. It's the adventure. And that's what we would have, else without geocaching, we would never have gone there. Never.
Ever.
No. But geocaching is fun. You know, you go there and be like, well,
I didn't know this existed. Cool. Yeah. And now you can tell other people when they come here, say, hey, where's the good spots for geocaching? Like, here's the list. Like, go for gold. You know, like.
Exactly. And that's what you find as well. You find with the geocaching takes you to those places where it's very touristy, but there's no tourists. You know what I mean? That sort of thing, you know. And to be honest with you, there's so many places like that in New Zealand. Many places.
So true.
Even would what I loved as well was Rotorua. You know, all the earth caches you can do in Rotorua.
Yeah, and the mud at the same time, instead of just being like, oh, yeah, that's cool steam coming out of the ground, but you learn what it actually means and where it's coming from at the same time.
Exactly. And you actually, you learn about it as well, which is I loved it. I love Rotorua. I always have, ever since I was a kid. You know, oh, that stink. I go, yeah, but it's so nice.
It's so gross, but it smells so good. Like, put in a perfume bottle and I'll wear it kind of thing.
Yeah. Probably not that good. But I don't mind the eggs. That's all right.
From Rotorua when we went there, because we went there last year. We put a video up from that, but not geocaching related. It was before our
just before, like a month before we started caching.
Yeah. But it's heaps of fun, but that smell, though. And then she takes that home, like, in a mask.
Yep, yep. Well, there we go. Just again from the YouTube channel, Skatey Rocks and her Geo Munchkin says zip lining in Queenstown was a tick in her bucket list as well. So, oh, wow, zip lining. Did you go, you guys didn't do zip lining then in Queenstown?
No, but we did it in Rotorua.
Yeah,
when we went to Rotorua,
and it was quite a serious zip line.
It's a nice one because at the end there's also a four story like, you know how you can bungee jump like straight, and you can also just like jump off something. You jumped off it was like four stories or something at the end. Like that's how you had to get down. It was really cool.
Yeah, so there's the bungee jumping, but there's also the bungee swing as well.
Yeah, I'm not kidding on that.
AJ Hackett's the king of bungee, and he's Kiwi. So he's the man. It started over there. I've even still got a piece of bungee cord that I got from part of my trip over there.
Hopefully after the bungee jump.
Yeah, I think I just stole it from someone else's. So. Exactly. And a few people now. Jay Morgan has said about the whitewater rafting in Queenstown was awesome. Gary Tattersall also said blackwater rafting in
Waitomo.
So blackwater rafting in Waitomo. Blackwater rafting then. Whitewater rafting is obviously all the wash from all the
rapids and the wash and all that. And Black River is kind of
still water.
I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's like still in like in Waitomo, it's like in the caves, I believe. So you like go through the glowworm caves and like
So it's black because it's dark. And you go through caves and stuff. That would be cool.
That would be logical. Like I get this. Yeah.
There we go. We worked it out. Awesome.
learned something today.
Exactly. So don't forget, guys, if you are thinking about going to New Zealand at all, obviously, and you're a geocacher, obviously try and do it around the New Zealand 2020 event because that would be really, really awesome. That would be really, really cool. And you can get the mega event and then, you know, go off on your travels around New Zealand from there. Now, you can't do New Zealand in any less than 2 weeks.
A week
in both islands. That's even then, that's pretty pushing it, you know.
Yeah. You need 2 weeks in the South Island, I reckon.
I'd say three weeks in the South Island.
Okay.
Ideally, you would need that. Like, you know, I mean, when I went through New Zealand, because I was over there from Mega as well, and I did a week on each island as well. And yeah, I wish I had 2 weeks in the South. That's really cool. Quickly, before we get going, Jay Morgan just says as well that more recently the Skywalk around Sky Tower in Auckland was brilliant too.
Ooh, yeah,
we'll
do that. That would be fun.
Yeah, the Skywalk around Sky Tower. That would be cool. I did see. Was it the Sky Tower? I think it was. People jump off that. Like they. It's not a bungee. It's a fall. So
it's
they're.
A fall. You're in the middle and you're.
Yeah. I saw people doing that too. That was pretty cool.
It's so cool because there's a restaurant also in there, and we were like, in that restaurant, and you just sit there in the restaurant, and just suddenly like.
Actually, you guys would know this one as well. Skatey Rocks again. She says, "Do Hobbiton for Ring fans like herself. It's a must see." So, whereabouts is Hobbiton?
Is
that north,
south of Hamilton, or just before Hamilton? I'm terrible. I've never been. Away, I've been it? Past it. No, it's just before Hamilton. Just before Hamilton, I believe. Less than an hour from where we are in Auckland. So
yeah, because it was actually filmed there, wasn't it? Filmed in
Auckland. They do tours there now, so definitely somewhere else.
And there's actually, I do believe there's a geocache, not a geocaching tour, but a geocaching power trail as such, with it's all themed. The Lord of the Rings theme around there too, which is
summer is coming, so we will be
back into it again.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining me so much. It's been great. How quick's that gone?
It's amazing how quick it goes.
Yeah, it's super quick. Exactly. Super quick. So thank you so much for joining me, as I said, again. Now, guys, don't forget to follow these guys on their YouTube channel. The It's the Curious Kiwis, the TCK. There it is, their little subscriber. Oh. If you see it, I'm not sure. Right in, but no, the Curious Kiwis with a C and a K for Kiwis on YouTube. Don't forget, guys, do some great videos. Now, they have been some quiet of late, but I do believe they're getting back into it now, aren't you? You were very busy. You like you bought a house, you got married, yeah. You bought a house, you did all the real, like normal stuff. exactly. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much again for joining me tonight. But before we head off, we have another giveaway. Did you know that? I've got another giveaway. Yeah. So this giveaway is to celebrate the publishing of the New Zealand Mega in 2020. I have a rare, I'll put it up here on the video on YouTube and on Facebook. Unfortunately, you won't be able to see it on the podcast, but it's a New Zealand Geo coin from 2018. There it is there. It's a rare one. It's gold in color. It's trackable, of course, as always. I can show you the back. I'll just hide the GC, the code. And then the back is an actual cool Kiwi. Look at that. That's super cool. So I have this coin to give away, and that is all thanks to the NZ 2020 and also geocoins.nz as well. They do all the coins for them. So geocoins.nz do it as well. Now, what do we have to do? Let me see. Why don't we? Okay. Firstly, I'm going to make several little entry levels here. So one entry if you follow the Geocaching Down Under podcast on Facebook, one entry if you follow the Geocaching Down Under podcast on Instagram. One entry if you follow the Curious Kiwis on YouTube. So you guys are gonna have to let me know your list. so you get an entry for that. You get another entry as well if you subscribe to the New Zealand Mega newsletter. So notice I'm not saying about posting will attends. You don't have to post a will attend. You just have to subscribe to the New Zealand Mega newsletter. And last and not least, unfortunately, this is only for a selected few, but for all the Patreons only of the Geocaching Down Under podcast, you will get one extra entry into the draw. There you go. So if you're a Patreon, you automatically get one extra entry into the draw. So that's a little bit extra for Patreons of the podcast. If you'd like to join Patreons of the podcast as well, go to patreon.com/geocachingdownunder for all your information. And we have three different tiers in which you can support us because it does cost money now to host these things every single month. So that's pretty cool. Deadlines will be at the 1st of December 2019. So get clicking and following right now. The winner will be announced on next month's podcast. Now, speaking of next month's podcast, I have secured a family. That's right, a family. In the lead up to the school holidays over Christmas, we have an awesome family of four. There's mum, dad, and two very excited boys joining us. I'll let you know a little bit later on. I'll leave it for a little bit as to who it actually is. And they're going to talk about everything about geocaching as a family, how do they actually do it? How do they keep the kids involved? How do they keep all members of the family happy, mum and dad as well, on their day trips and also going to events. So join us for that next month, guys. Now, next month is the second week as well in December, not the first. So I'll have the list up very, very soon in regards to that. Okay, thanks to everyone who jumped in on the live YouTube broadcast tonight. Remember, we record live in the first week of every single month, so make sure you follow all our social media pages so you don't miss out on any of the geo chat. If you have any questions or comments, please drop us a line at geocachingdownunder@gmail.com. This podcast can be downloaded on any of your favorite podcast apps, including Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, and Spotify. So that brings us to the end of the episode of number 15. From the Geocaching Down Under podcast, I'm Sam Shells. I'm over and out. Hoo 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 hoo!